Hey, everybody. Welcome to Empath of Least Resistance. I'm Annie Hardy, and this is my friend, Asia McNickelbag.
Hi-ya-yo.
Hi-ya-yo, Asia. We're back for our third episode. What? Why do you keep pointing to my song entitled Kill Your Wife?
It's your recent recordings on here.
That's just the song titles, which decidedly mean not too much, except usually they indicate what the song's about. Anyway, the recording date today is January
Third.
3rd. Don't be a turd, it's January 3rd, the new year. Happy New Year. May old acquaintance.
They forgot, is that the word?
Yeah, what a weird song.
Bye.
Bye, guys. May old acquaintance be forgot and never brought to mind. May old acquaintance be forgot and auld lang syne. For auld lang syne, my love, for auld. Oh, shit.
Okay, old lang syne. That's who you are.
You're an old lang syne. Ow, I'm having a cramp in my butt cheek from having to hold up the guitar. Asia, did you make up a New Year's resolution?
Yes.
What is it?
To have this year be absolutely like no other year. I was like, this is my year. Everyone does that, but like, I did it in a way where I was like, this is the year that I'm gonna actually act on things.
Anal. This year I'm having an anal and I'm gonna love it.
Annie Hardy's in an interesting mood tonight, ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah, I am in an interesting mood. You know why? Because my New Year's resolution this year, you know, is to be a cunt. A cunt. Are you editing me?
Yeah, I wish I didn't.
I'll see you next Tuesday. I don't know how you did that perfectly timed both times just now.
Did I?
Yeah, that was weird. But whatever.
Such a beautiful key came out.
I'm gonna be a see you next Tuesday for Halloween this year. Or no, for the whole year. Whatever. And I already didn't really give a fuck what people thought about me. But now in 2017, I really, really don't give a fuck.
I'm gonna start caring.
No, to my detriment, I'm not gonna give a fuck. Even more so than before. Like last year, I said, well, 2016 can't be worse than 2015, but it was. But it really was. You know, so I will never say that statement again about anything, because you can double down on tragedy at any given moment. I will say, you know, instead, I'm gonna become a cunt. I think it's the only way to get people to respect you.
I think that this is the way of possibly, hopefully, you saying that people who come to you passive aggressively, you know, wanting a solution or answer, you won't be there to, you know, offer it up so they can feel like they found it on their own.
No, I'm just mainly going to be a bitch to everyone. No, that's kind of right. It's like, you know what being like a really nice, caring, nurturing person has gotten me? It's turned me into a human toilet so people can take dumps down my throat in my, you know what's interesting? Have you ever had a person take a dump into your own butthole?
No.
You pass it back and forth forever?
With your butthole muscles?
I don't know. I just saw that in a movie. I haven't seen many movies. When I do see them,
there's butthole stuff.
There's ass to ass. It's either Requiem for a Dream or that other movie.
Rectum for a Dream.
Rectum, I mean, I really killed him for a dream. No, but I'm just saying, like, you know, I'm not going to be that. No more Mr. Nice Guy. No more Mr. Clean. I always thought it was weird how Alice Cooper's music really sounded in comparison to how he looks. One time, me and Joe and Devin, this really nice guy who played drums for Lemonheads, and then for Icarus Line, one of the 78 members that Joe's had in Icarus Line, we were all driving, we were driving to my apartment in Echo Park, you know, when I made Echo Park the cool place to live, just as it was turning to be too gentrified. I was literally one of the first white people who lived in Echo Park back in the day. You were probably still in high school or something.
When you Pied Pipered everyone.
When I Pied Pipered all these white fucking jerks over there. But right after Chloe 70 moved onto my street, then Alice Cooper's kid did. And we were driving to my house. We see Alice Cooper. No, Ma, it's the clean. And then, you know, I think somebody yelled at something, feed my Frankenstein at him or something. He looked terrified, like legitimately. Like, hey, man, you're the scary one. We're supposed to be scared. This is a sham.
Oh, my gosh. I've had experiences like that with, like, Slash's daughter.
She's not supposed to be scary, though.
No. I had to talk to him on the phone to, like, convince him to, like, transfer money for a train ticket. This is when I first moved to Hollywood. I found her at Saddle Ranch with that guy from, BZ, some, what, rap?
Angel BZ?
It's, like, BZ, oh, my, Bone Thugs in Harmony. Whatever BZ.
Bone Thugs.
Miss Bones or BZ.
Like Bone Thugs with a Z at the end.
No, I know, but there was, I feel like one of the guys, like, bees, I don't know, he didn't talk, it was
bizarre. And I'm gonna miss everybody, and I'm gonna miss everyone.
So New Year's resolution.
Wait, so then what happened to Slash's daughter?
Well, she was just,
I didn't even know he had one.
I mean, for all I know, it could have been a total bullshit, and she just said that. Like, I still don't know to this day.
Like, you talked to some guy on the phone who sounded like Slash?
But, no, I met her, and she was, like, stuck there, and so, of course, I was like, I'll take care of you, whatever, took her back to my place, and, like, gave her a change of clothes and everything, and she was, like, thinking about relapsing, and this is right after, like, you know, my friend just passed away, and so, like, I was like, no, like, you gotta go home, and she's like, my parents don't want to see me, and then I, like, talked to her, and, like, whole thing where she had the courage to call him, and then
Slash is like, I don't have a daughter.
But like, I had to advocate on the phone because I didn't believe her, but for all I know it wasn't even Slash, but I really think it was.
Maybe they didn't believe that was their daughter because it wasn't.
Maybe I should look it up. Maybe, yeah. I shouldn't. I kind of forgot about that. That sounds so nice.
That was Sweet Child of Mine. Oh, shit.
Annie's a free little soul right now.
Free hole, everyone. Speaking of, let's update, because I think our last episode that I fully don't remember recording, but I don't remember anything these days. These days I seem to think a lot that I'll remember, but then I don't. She says, Cosette. Okay, so last time we talked about, like, Tindering and Bumbling, and I just want to say I'm on Tinder right now. I straight deleted Bumble because I was like, this is satanic, bro. Like, I hate this. I hate what the world's become. Fuck this. And then I erased it. Who is this? They must be Find Me Somebody to Love. They're... Two connections are the Cha-Cha in Silver Lake and Scott from 400 Blows. Their name is Woof, W-U-F. They're 39, from University of New Mexico. 9 miles away, Woof, what do you say? Carving, sinking, floating, dusk-light animal. Tupac's refusal to stop touring, recording, and acting posthumously. Waves, bits, rock beats, page. And first times, yeah. What the fuck does any of that mean? Nothing. Who is it, though? Why don't they have a picture of themselves? See, I hate this. It's like Rent-A-Rapist to me. I think I shimmied into a different dimension that's a little bit worse than the last one I was in. And now these guys, ugh, look at this fucking dude. Blech. I mean, granted, I'm only here for research.
Why don't you read out loud to listeners what your profile says Annie.
Oh, okay. My profile says Annie, singer, songwriter. And then about me, it says, doing some in-depth field reporting on the satanic world of online dating. Mm. 5 years now of no TV, music, movies, newspapers, etc. Happy instead. Make Organite spiritual as fuck, not religious. Transcended 3D already, so I don't care about it. If you voted, you probably ain't on my level. I'm the best non-rapper freestyler alive. I run a healing house, an organic garden in front and backyard, not back to front. I'm called a human lie detector and narc hunter. Helping people heal and live their dreams is my passion. Singer-songwriter, what do you know about me? Nobody wants to go out with me because I'm too intimidating.
And she asks guys what their blood type is, so most likely everyone thinks that he's an organ donor.
Well, maybe I do. An organ donor. What if the people who came to my Airbnb backyard, which I have people living in tent in my backyard from time to time, like right now we have backyard Sean, who's great. No, Angel Baby, don't! Oh, I hate that she jumps up there now on all the crystals. She's on all the crystals. All the crystals. But what if I just, like, backyard Sean types, I just stole their kidney? I could use a new one.
Oh, if you start stealing your Airbnb guest kidneys out of your
time. Yes, that is what I'm talking. Now I can't do it because I just said it on the podcast, but we could edit this
perfect
out.
Crime.
Yuck, dude. Is this what people look like now? Like, what? Okay, come on. So many guys on here are so ugly and gross. And I like that Tinder does give me the ability to judge people the way I probably ought to judge them in person. Like, ew, you look like a fucking loser. You know what I'm saying? Like, Anton, 32, too young. Programmer, loser.
Why are all their names Anton?
I don't know. Jake. I would never date a guy named Jake. I made that mistake of dating a Jake, and I'll never make it again. Look at this guy's name, Abdulaziz. Oh, I would love it. I can't go out tonight. I got a contagious Abdulaziz. Fuck off, you ugly loser. Sorry, that's so mean. But I can't help it. That's my New Year's resolution, to be this way. Sorry, Asia. Is that bad that I don't want to go out on a date with this audio engineer who went to University of Colorado Boulder? He's only two.
Boulder?
What a loser place to go to college. Fucking Boulder. He's actually, he's not as, like, grotesque as everyone else, but I don't even care about him. Live music, whiskey, and Amaro. Shut up. Get out of my face, you fucking loser. Loser, loser, ugly, pig, loser, slob, gross, yuck. People can't see, but as I say each insulting word, I'm flipping through pictures.
I'm so used to it. She's been sitting here doing it for quite a minute.
It's one side of my Gemini personality. One side, Wu-Tang management. Don't lie to me. Do something that your future self will thank you for later. I will. It's called Nope. Right, swipe. Whoa, Angel! She broke my amethyst, you fucking cunt! You're my favorite cat! Oh my!
Don't let her knock that thing over.
Angel, stop! Stop! Look what you did, Asia! Oh!
Don't move!
I think this is fine. Hey, stop eating
dude,
this.
If that.
Oh man, this cat is fucking driving me insane. So that leads me to the purpose of our show, or the topic of our show. Not that my cat is insane, but that shit we put up with that we know we shouldn't, and we do it anyway. And now it's Mercury retrograde, which happens 4 times a year. Mercury.
It's been a lot more than that, isn't it?
No. 4 times a year, but each time seems to be extremely a long time. She just wanted her own, what is this thing called?
Pillar.
Pillar. She just wanted her own pillar to sit on. Look at her cat pillar. She is really cute. I'm not even mad at you. You're so cute. I can't stay mad at you. Asia.
Oh my god, Annie.
What? Asia, don't be gross. Okay, so when Mercury Mercury's retrograding, it appears to be moving backward in the sky, you know?
That's retrograde.
Yes, that's retro. Stop it. Stop it, Angel. No! Quit it!
She's talking to the cat, is what clarifies.
So, like, yeah, when Mercury's going retrograde, a lot of bullshit happens.
You know, I'm starting to realize that that's been what it maybe probably has been for so long. But then again, when I was home and I told you this, I was like, I'm going to out crazy the retrograde because it's so fucked up. It's on a super moon and I'm traveling. And it's like, I can't think of it as like, you know, this like defeat. So I'm going to out crazy it. And that was my game plan. But because I had that mentality of just like not letting it get to me, especially as for my family, so I could, you know, spook them out with my weird.
Was that the last time Mercury was retro?
Yeah, before this. And I realized that what it brings to the surface and like, you know, because you end up thinking about the strangest things from your past and then being like, oh, like this is upsetting me because like, this person's back on my mind. But really it's kind of like Mercury is a communicator and it rules Gemini, which is all of us. you, me, and all our personalities.
Yeah.
And so it's like, if we kind of like take it as like what it's surfacing and what it's making suck so bad in the order of chaos, it constantly causes us and affects us the most. It's like, I feel like there's something we can get from that.
Well, yeah, the old shit from the past that's coming up that you're feeling emotionally charged about is coming up to remind you of some lesson that you were taught. You know, people probably don't know this because I just learned it myself through, you know, I don't want to make myself sound too crazy.
Me.
No. Yeah, through Asia. Asia told me that, you know, here's how it goes as far as I know. I used to receive some divine guidance. Every 3 months, we were given a lesson, like the one I remember most vividly because I was so clear at the time. So on top of my meditation game, just so tuned in and pregnant. And that helped, too.
Is that when you and I, like, when you reach out to me?
Yes, that's when I psychically knew that you were with a narcissist. And
after a year of not having any communication.
And only meeting you one time, yes. That was when I was on top of my game. And so, yeah, so you know it was real because I did all that to you. And, but I would receive these sort of, like, channeling writings where I would write these, like, two-page, like, it was as if, it was the same way I get songs, you know, a fax machine sending me something. And I remember it had a lot to do with asking people for help and, you know, asking for the things you need, which, you know, prideful people like me don't do. I have a hard time asking for help harder than anything. And so you have 3 months of learning this lesson in sometimes very difficult ways, and then you have, you know, every 3 months, 3, 6, 9, 12, yeah, every quarter, which is every 3 months, we have one Mercury retrograde. So the Mercury retrograde kind of ends it out, and like that's when you're tested. You're put to the test to see, did you absorb the lesson that you were meant to learn? And it's like you have a mini test, and then you have the final. And, you know, we don't always pass. And so when we fail to learn the lesson and to put it into action and work it into our everyday life, not just, you don't get, it's not like high school, you don't do one final and you never have to take geometry again. You know, you have to use geometry now for the rest of your fucking life.
Or blame it on the retrograde versus facing it.
No, because if you don't continue to keep those lessons incorporated, you'll revert next Mercury retrograde and you will have the same cyclical life patterns that you had before that hold you back. And you're like, why every time I date a guy, this happens and this happens. Or every time I like go for a job, you know, I can't think of a great real life example, but you know, these things that repeat themselves that you say to yourself, that's just how I am. That's just how my life goes. Your life don't have to go that way. If you would just incorporate, learn the lesson, incorporate it and keep it incorporated, you wouldn't have to keep going. Your life wouldn't be that way. You can change your whole life just by changing.
It's kind of, but what I was saying was like, you know, I feel like the whole concept of the retrograde, the Mercury retrograde, it's such a third-party external blame factor right now, you know? So when things surface, we don't even recognize it because we're like, oh, it's because of the retrograde.
Right.
And that's just, like, what people who don't even understand anything about.
Yeah.
Like, even, like, skeptics say that. Because, I mean, it does everything to, like, you know, break down cars and interference.
Travel, communication, and electronics is the three things that Mercury wreaks havoc on.
And communication on, like, all levels.
Yeah.
And, like, how you're not supposed to make, like, certain, like, contract agreements.
Any contracts. Don't start relationships. Don't buy something, a big purchase, because it's not going to work. It'll be broken forever. If you break up during the Mercury retrograde with your boyfriend, girlfriend, don't worry. You're probably going to get back together.
That's very true. But I feel like this Mercury retrograde is different. I feel like the last one was different. But then again, I can't really tell because, like, who knows, like, how, you know, much of... I used to just blame the retrograde until I was, like, I'm going to out crazy it.
Yeah, I don't know what out crazying it means, but I've done it with you a little bit, and it works. I don't know what it means.
I think though. It was just kind of something I was saying, but yeah. It was something that, like, you know, in my mind, I'm like, I'm not even going to let this get to me because it's going to trigger fear about flying and, you know, all that shit. And this Mercury retrograde, I could tell.
This one feels epic.
I could tell it was happening because I was having, for the first time, like, I was starting to write shit down, like you were just explaining.
Mm-hmm.
And that was bizarre because, you know, if I'm texting to you and my mentality is I'm telling you something, I can unlock so much shit from myself. You know this.
Yeah. Asia sends the longest text messages of all time. And you're like, almost, sometimes I see them and there's like 4 to 8 extremely long ones. And I go, oh my God, am I supposed to read this? And then I do anyway, and then I'm like, I guess I'm glad I read that.
But then I did not see that having a good ending.
Wow. Other times it sends me into a blind rage.
But you made a good point. Like, when I first started doing it, and I know this sounds insane, but, like, it would be so much worse if you hadn't said this, because there's so many times where I'll delete the paragraph, because you're like, if you realize you're unlocking it for yourself, and it's more about that, because... But what's weird is, like, my mentality, if I'm telling you something, I get my own answers. But if I'm writing it down in a journal, it wasn't working. I'd end up writing, like, weird rhymes and, like, to get distracted or draw. But then I started writing down a dream after I had that dream.
Well, that's a good thing, really good thing to do.
But I have always kind of been against dream journals, like, just not wanted to do it. And I wrote down that one dream that I wanted to show you. And then ever since then, I've been writing, like, I must have... filled, like, I don't even know how many notebooks last week.
That's crazy. I always mean to do a dream journal too, but, you know, I just wake up and I forget everything and I'm thrown into the day-to-day bullshit. And I hate that. You know, I heard someone say recently, people who are just, like, going through life in constant chaos, like, Mercury retrograde started early for me, bringing, for me, the theme of this one is purging unloving relationships from my life.
That's what I think it is for everyone. And, like, it's the kind of thing where maybe past retrogrades we were like, oh, they're acting crazy because they're retrograde. Yeah. But I'm seeing very clearly, and I think I was trying to, like, you know, say this through text to you, but I was saying I think that it's a point where we can't defend certain people against ourselves anymore.
Yeah, to ourselves. Yeah, it's really, like, it's over. You know, with so many friends who were such great friends, I thought, they're really not that great of friends. They're really not friends at all, some of them, and most of them. But they're old friends, you know. They've been there for 15 years. And all that means is that I take 15 years worth of shit, 15 years worth of, like, their false perceptions of me, their bullshit idea of who I am, which I don't believe is anything similar to who I actually am. I figured out that my new friendships with people like you, with Marissa, who I met at my fucking garage sale, who, like, her and I have the healthiest friendship of any I've ever had, ever. You know, I've never gotten a fight with her. And we just have a total symbiotic relationship. We both think each other are, like, this great person, you know? She became a Christian because of me. From a Jew to a Christian with a baptism and everything. She took me to a Bible study. I realized I never want to go to a Bible study ever again. But I mean, the people there were so disgusting. And I know that's not very Christian of me, but I looked at those Christians. I was like, this is why people aren't Christian, because these people are mongoloids. Sorry, Jesus. But a lot of them were demon possessed, too. Just from going to that Bible study, I received the spiritual gift of hyper discernment about spirits. Like, there was this one, like, slovenly pig of a woman who was just like, will you be my caretaker? And it's like,
what?
The first thing this lady ever said to me is, will you be my new caretaker?
She actually said that?
Yes. It's like, no,
I think that was like her vibe. I'm like, oh,
no,
awful vibe.
That's what she actually
even
said.
Even worse.
And then like the guy, Mel Novak, he was talking and she's like, hallelujah. And he goes, yo, Grace, or whatever her name was. He's like, be quiet. And I go, oh, bing, bing, bing. Afterwards, I'm talking to Marissa. I'm like, that lady has so many demons. She had the spirit of distraction, a big one on my radar this month, quarter, I guess. And she had the spirit of division, another big one, and a spirit of infirmity, which is a demon spirit that makes you sick all the time. And me and Marissa, from sitting next to this woman, both started feeling sick, like during the short Bible study. And I was like, I'm not gonna be your caretaker, fucking Jabba the Hutt. This is disgusting. She was just like, you know, those people who are really weirdly like shaped, like, you know, everything's normal, but then like they have like a really fat left arm. Is that a thing? I feel in my mind's eye, that's how she looked. Just like, and then balding and stuff. And
but
she, it,
that's yeah. Not why you said no.
No, that is why.
I'm trying so hard to make you
I told you much. I'm a cunt now. I'm a cunt for New Year's and all year round. You know, I'm just saying what anyone else would have been thinking, which is blah, yuck.
Meanwhile, you were texting me during being like, they're telling me not to give up on people, which is weird because it's exactly like, not give up, but we're supposed to part with people who were looking for signs to not give up on them.
Yeah.
That's what I'm realizing. With a certain person in my life, I'm looking for signs. Like, I don't even care what the purpose is because I unconditionally care about this person, but it's like, I just want to know if it's time to let them go or if they do need my help, because we've always had the weird balance. And it's like, I'm realizing that I just straight up, it's not giving up. I've already done above and beyond.
Yeah. That's not giving up. You're trying to push change on somebody who don't really want it.
It wasn't, no, because the thing is, this is the first time that I've been asked for help. I mean, I've been doing that since like, you
know. How did that sound? Like, will you help me?
It's more just like, I was getting calls.
Asking your opinion on shit.
Yeah, like, what does this mean? Stuff that I, from this person, I would never expect.
Well, the world is going through a mass spiritual awakening. Yet, how annoyingly long does it take to awaken? Think about your own. You're still in process.
I remember, like, years ago when I was like, it's so hard being aware. And the thing is, I was, for, like, you know, my age group especially.
Yeah.
Or, like, even in high school, and I always was weirdly in tune, but I use my analytical part of my mind because I could, you know, focus in on people's hypothetical outcome, anything, you know, I could tell people.
But that don't always work.
No, if that was like my downfall. That inflicted so much self-judgment. It's like
judgment of self or other will destroy everything.
Well, yeah, because, you know, if you're thinking about someone's hypothetical future outcomes, past, present, whatever, it's like, right there, it's like, it's not like they have it all together, and yet you're automatically reflecting that on yourself and you react accordingly, subconsciously or not. It's kind of like when people become their reputation if they focus too hard on it.
Well, it's because when a group of people hold the same opinion about someone, that person, it changes the fabric of reality for that person. If everyone thinks I'm a piece of shit, which they have been thinking for years now, obviously. You know, I'm going to become a piece of shit, most likely.
Doubt it.
And even if I don't, I'm just speaking hypothetically here. Even if I don't, everyone will see me as one. And I'm not speaking hypothetically, because this is actually what happened. One of my best friends, is a narc. I'm not going to lie. And they, when I started to awaken, I stopped being a yes man to this person and doing everything that they wanted. And so, in turn, when you're fucking with a narcissist, even if it's just your best friend, they will, and you start falling, like, you start going against the grain, they'll be like, Annie's crazy, man. Annie's acting crazy. They plant these little seeds around. They start to destroy your, credibility versus that you're crazy. Then you're on drugs. Maybe those two are reversed.
Based on, technicality, it can never really be traced back to them, because, they always are, the most charming person of life.
Exactly. Now, it's funny because me and this person I'm talking about, who's been my friend for a long time, he was the pariah. Nobody wanted to deal with him. He was a snake. He was had a terrible reputation. And it's almost as if he ate my soul and took my reputation and switched us. And now I haven't even done anything, Anthea. I just went somewhere else for 2 years and came back. But it's as if I inherited all of his thievery. If you ask someone, what did Annie Hardy do? I didn't do anything. Nobody could tell you something I did. Oh, well, she's all fucked up. What does that mean? Can you tell me? No, she's crazy. Why is that? Oh, because I fucking say whatever I want and I don't, fucking suck dick so I can keep everything cool and stay.
But, even right now, you're in that hypothetical of, what people are thinking. And it's nothing. It's based on nothing real.
Yeah, I know that. I fully know that. Nothing is real, but especially that is not real.
And it's interesting because in a way he's treating you like an extension of himself if he was like that. And because you always cared about the best in him, you always treated him accordingly. So it's like you probably subconsciously, I don't even know if you do this, I did this, I'd apologize for his own shit that
his own projections onto you of what a piece of shit.
It's like a narcissistant.
Narcissistant. Yeah, exactly. Secretary and narcissistant. It's like they think you're doing something fucked up because that's what they can do. They would do. And people can only, it works for and against you, that people can only suspect you of something that they themselves would do. That's why so many people don't believe in chemtrails, don't believe our government is evil. They don't believe in all this shit because of the fact that they would never do that. They would never poison strangers with airplanes full of nanoparticles of aluminum and barium and other heavy metals and shit. They would never do that. So they can't even imagine a world where this could be true. And they scoff and laugh at people like me who have done the research, know the truth. The same person that I'm talking about believes in none of this unless it's convenient for him in the moment.
But more I'm talking cons of manipulation with people interactions. You and I remember when I first started talking to you, I'm like, but I know how to think like him. Does that mean I'm a narc? I know what he would hypothetically do in situations that, if you gave me a situation, I could tell you what he would do.
Mm-hmm.
And it's that's where I'm but I know that you can, how to think like that too. Just when we make jokes and stuff about ridiculous things, our minds can go there because we've had to see that people's minds do go there.
Yeah, because it's happened to us.
And I feel like the empath's ego is kind of the opposite of the narc's because, ego is something you lie to yourself about to not face your own truth. And if an empath's down on themselves, the egos kind of feed each other because they are being treated, they need to be giving and they need to be making someone feel better, but they're really just making that lie so much more beautiful.
Yeah. The empath is feeding and the narcissist is eating. And so that's not how it's supposed to go. It works out a lot because the narcissist is always hungry because he can't generate that soul food on his own. And the empath...
Well, they can't love.
They can't love and they have...
Well, egos can't love.
Well, ego is what tells you that you and I are separate and that we're not the same. The ego is the duality mindset. And it's you know, it's a false belief of who you are. So like, if you're a piece of shit, but you like always tell yourself that you're the good person, you're the victim. We're all the, you know, protagonists in the stories of all of our lives. But let's be honest, some of us are just pieces of shit. You know, even in my life, in my 20s, I was kind of a piece of shit. I was kind of a narc because I had been narc trained. You know, I'm not a born narc whose parents didn't properly mirror them. You know, I'm what happens when you go codependent. But it's two different sides of the same coin at the end of the day, but one of the sides of the coin is a complete piece of shit.
It's like the most extreme, like, rare personality intellects, right? And then it's like, but then there's that one switch that's the opposite. And it's like that relationship can be, I believe, really beneficial and like brilliant if the egos are turned off. And personally, in my opinion, I believe ego is more just like the lies you tell yourself and want to see the reflection of the world of yourself. So you don't have to face your own truth. I think, like, you know, our souls are different. And then our soul's soul, which I believe is the Holy Spirit. I'm just learning about this, you know, which is the mirror image of the creator and, you know, the Christ consciousness or whatever people want to refer to it as, the oneness, you know, trees have it, every living thing has it. However, I believe that our soul makes it different, but I think our ego just really protects that 3D materialistic blindness that is, I mean, in a weird way, sometimes, I mean, there have been times where I didn't have anyone to really talk to and I wasn't awake like I am now. However, I was very in tune with people to a point where I could always tell when people were lying. I could see their end games, like even people I wasn't paying attention to or wanted to know about. And it was like, there were times where I'm like, wow, I wish I was naive to this shit. And it's like, that's such a sad thing. Yeah, or like, I once wrote a song called, like, I'm only cute when I don't care. Or like, that was like the gist of it. Mm-hmm. And like,
nobody liked me more than when I was completely apathetic because I was so strung out on prescription painkillers just to not be aware of these things. These things that I now regard as gifts, I used to look at as curses upon my life. Being that tuned in, being that aware of how other people felt, to me, was hell. And I really had to go through some reformatting of my hard drive to be able to look at it as superpowers, as what it is. Because I now I'm the human lie detector. Before, I lied to myself and I lied to other people. I couldn't discern the truth in all situations as I can now.
But you know what? You're the one who taught me the truth resonates. So even in these people, what I told you, and this is what I firmly believe, is that, you know, you always say, you're right all the time, which you most of the time are. However, 97%. It's like, I never, you know, when, I mean, you get frustrated with me all the time because it takes me a while. And then I'll say, you know what, you're right about this, because I had to kind of have a bunch of, you know, synchronicities in my own life that then, because of what you said too, like, fit in. And not only that, but it like helped me help other people or help me even be a better friend to you in certain ways. Mm. And it's kind of just like, I still firmly believe that, like, you know, because of the effort you put in these people, you have every reason to just kind of feel like it was just a fucking waste in many ways. It's like, I think you installed this light in them to a point where they won't go dark all the way, because when it's time and when they face their truth, which is inevitable, because, like, what's been done in the dark is going to be put into light.
Yeah, 2017, what's been done in the dark is coming to light this year. Better hide your kids, hide your life. Because
some sunglasses are going to be blinding.
Yeah.
But that's the thing. It's like I think right now what's going on is the blinding factor, and people are just trying to mirror off each other because they don't want to face it and they don't really understand that. Sometimes I don't know if this is like a world changer, if it's just something because I'm awake to it now, but I truly think that, like, for example, like, you know, the narcissist we referred to, they're really not able to face their shit.
No, they have.
Or they have to face their shit. Sorry, that was the opposite of what I was.
It's both, actually, because they can't face their shit, but they're being forced to, and they're coming up against this incredible cognitive dissonance that's, like, driving people, like, lots of people have been dying, lots more people have been going fucking insane.
Or they're just clinging on to the people who they know they can get reactions out of.
Or they're just clinging on to what they've been doing this whole time, even though it's very obvious that it doesn't work anymore. The old ways of doing shit no longer work for any of us, because the whole vibration of the planet is being raised rapidly. And so everyone's being forced to move into this like healthier ways of operating on every level. And the people who refuse to let go and change are like not having a good time. I've learned to let go attachment to everything. It helps that, you know, my baby died and then my boyfriend, baby's dad died. So that really cut, I mean, it's not a good thing, but I'm saying it helps me release attachment to everything, because when you lose everything, you realize what's important. And it's not anything 3D, it's not money, it's not anything but the people that you love, who love you, that you call your family is what's important. You know, as soon as they die, you're like, oh shit, well, who cares? It's just money, you know, it's just this. This will never bring that back, you know? And so
there are so many people who are going to start to like freak out when they learn that currency is a whole other like world than what they know.
It's all a lie. It's all a lie. Money's not real.
It doesn't measure anybody's success when it comes down to it.
And dollars don't represent gold like it used to. It's all a bunch of ones and zeros in a computer and energy of like, you know, fear.
And having the wrong people in your life for the wrong reasons.
Yeah, or making the wrong choices. When you're making decisions in your life based upon money, which was the complete trend with all three, four friends that I'm now like no longer going to be friends with here, all of them were the fear frequency, you know, currency carriers of my life. People who were just so money obsessed that they don't, you know, they don't get to live their dream life because of money.
But you know what's insane? Like, you know the status of this malignant narc that I was around. Mm-hmm. Like, he was Hitler-grade narcissist. Mm-hmm. And he straight up said to me on the phone the other day, he goes, thing is, I went from zero to narc so fast. He's like, de-narking is such an intense thing because I'm realizing that, like, I mean, he really is calling it out. He's like, because I'm lonely. He was a conscious decision to not be around these people because I wanted to get done what I wanted to get done. Now I resent people because they went off and had children and all this stuff.
Yeah.
And I'm thinking, like, these people who he gives examples of, it's like, they're not happy. And, like, he literally is like, I'm aware that everything's changing. He's like, yeah, I'm deeply seated, fucked up. And I'm like, it's not even about that. You don't have to just, like, you don't have to explain it. You just have to, like, be open to, like,
you know? Can we talk about this idea of I'm deeply fucked up that absolutely everyone has? Like, I don't...
Get over it, pussy.
No, it's just, like, we're all deeply flawed, but we don't really...
We're not victims anymore, though.
Yeah, but I'm saying that the judgment and like, because I know people like this guy, we'll call him Daddy. And Daddy is always saying, like, I'm so fucked up. He's not really that fucked up at all, to be honest.
He's actually really insanely intuitive and...
But then not, because today I was like, but then he sucks absolutely at it because he's not honest enough to discern the truth. And when you're dishonest with people, like, frequently, you can't know the truth. So today we got in a fight because I said, he's like, I feel really down today. And I said, you need to get out of that apartment at least once a day. The air of sadness in that place, I know you don't believe me, but it was heavy as fuck. I don't know why you think I can't discern these things. Like, it's kind of what I do. I'm doctor verified now after doing Reiki on someone saying, oh, do you have kidney problems here? And then they went to the doctor that week, kidney infection.
And you called my tooth infection out through my phone nonstop.
Root canal, yeah.
You're like, you need to go to the hospital. I'm just like, I'm busy. And
then anybody listen to me, Asia?
But I do listen to you. That's the thing. It's like, there's sometimes, it's like, I can't just blindly trust you because then I'll have similar issues the next time, you know? It's like, with you, I'm able to learn the questions to ask myself. And, like, you're very patient and, like, you know how much I love you for that.
Not this year. 2017 finds me being even less patient. Maybe. I don't know. I'm trying to be anyway. But I'm saying, why doesn't he believe me? Why would you think, oh no, my apartment where me and like my bitch have fist fights all the time has a real good energy vibe about it. I think it's good vibes in here because I do have a really cool lamp. Fuck off.
But the thing is, like, but then again, it's like, it's I get that. However, it's like, you know, it's not anyone's place to like.
I get it.
But then again, but he does come to you. If he comes to you and, you know, you obviously want to help, and it seems, you know, if someone comes to you, it seems like they're asking for help and
doesn't
guidance.
Doesn't he, though?
So I don't really know the situation.
Well, the same narc close friend of mine does what I now do, which is telling people what they need to do all the time. You know, they're not asking me what they need to do. They're trying to share the way they feel with somebody who is non-judgmental, or was in 2016.
No.
It has begun. Out crazying the last chapter.
I only slash as a kid. I just
I knew it. I knew he has no sweet child of mine.
That makes everything so much weirder.
That's very weird. People in LA are so fucked up, especially the people who move. Oh, no offense, you did it. But the people who move from like from somewhere especially really close. Like
you're gonna say far away.
No, I was gonna say like Las Vegas, like people who are like in another scumfuck town, but they come because they want to be in the ultimate scumfuck. The weirdest was this Airbnb guest who moved from like where's the place where they breed dogs? It starts with an M. It's like Mill Pig.
Milwaukee.
No, Montana or some not shittier than Missouri.
Mill Pig.
Missouri, the state that sounds like the word misery.
It really does.
Missouri. They moved here.
Missouri.
Actually, those are the people who gave me Angel Baby.
So then.
Well, no, they're still like weird because they moved here and they're like, I go, oh, what is your guys' dream? We just wanted to be in the city. It's like, what? I think the girl was a prostitute. Any case, they were the one. Like couple camped out in my backyard without a tent. They were just under the awning. I was like, I want to kill myself right now. You guys have, I kicked them out. I said, yo, this is going to sound weird, but your girlfriend is completely possessed by demons. And like, I'm pretty sure you guys are prostituting her. So you should probably mosey on.
But or give me a cut.
No, I said, but I will take care of your cat though. And I said, you can come get her when you find a new place, but it's going to be awful rough to get into an Airbnb with a dog and a cat, don't you think? And they're like, yeah, but you have to call her Ace. And I said, no problem. Come on, Angel Baby. Let's get out of here.
Wait, Ace?
Fuck off, you idiots.
Oh, my goodness. When I moved here, what was, like, really shitty was I grew up in a television or anything, and then I moved straight here. Well, I live in Oakland.
Into a television.
Right. But the thing is, I didn't know actors. I didn't know, like, and the thing is, even when I did, I didn't act any differently. However, that's like a thing girls do, I learned. They pretend like they don't know who people are when they have, like, celebrity crushes.
Mm-hmm.
And there were so many situations where, actually, for some reason, I was, like, weirdly trusted. I think it's because they just thought I was the most bizarre person. And, however, when it came down, it's like, oh, I don't even know how to explain it. Actually, with anybody in LA, if I did something sincere, it was like, there was always this weird thing where someone was trying to make them think I had a crush on them, or I felt like really, like, I felt like I had to hide
the way I was raised. Oh, are you talking about the rare, like, thing that kind of happens with the people that are in my angel family, where it's like, people, when you get amongst a group, that group is very apt to make up, like, really tall tales about you, or come, like, you know, the spirit of division comes in, and all of a sudden, there's a rumor flowing around about you, about how you did this, or how you like this person, you want to fuck this person, that kind of shit?
Or it's like, I feel like, you know, if someone opens up to you, or, you know, they trust you, and they know that they can trust you, and, like,
Well, no, that's an empath thing. When you're an empath, people, like, in an elevator will tell you their entire life story, But people who you're friends with, they'll get very vulnerable with you. They'll share some really deeply personal information. And knowing the way that people are, they figure you're going to betray them as soon as you part ways. Mm-hmm. And so they preemptively strike and they pre-damage you or your reputation just in case you even think about telling what they're
saying. It's like offense is a defense. Meanwhile, it's like that happened to me so much. And it's like not like I ever asked personal questions. People would come to me and break down. And because they were celebrity status and whatnot, they were especially paranoid and freaked out.
Let us hear some juicy gossip.
No, because I feel like I've always felt like gross talking about it.
What size is their penis?
That's another thing. It's like everyone who like I was like, oh my god, like hot boy, I moved here, and it's like
you had a micro penis.
No, it was just like because they were all like crying in little balls, and I was
little balls.
Yeah, I'd walk around and be like, you guys are so lucky. I'm not one of the girls with the TMZ pen cameras or some shit. I'm like, cause you guys have been saying some shit. Like, I'm like, you have to be careful. And then it got to a point where if I was out with them in public, they knew I'd be the person who'd, like, take people's phones and delete photos. And it was, like, they're miserable. And I was just, like, you guys are awful to be with. Always.
Yeah. Isn't it weird how, like, you have, like, sometimes friends and you're like, oh, yeah, so-and-so is my very close friend. And this is what I've realized in this Mercury retrograde. I'm like, this person fucking sucks to hang out with. I don't know why I've been friends with this person for so long. I never, ever have any fun with them because they aren't any fun. They are vacuous vacuums that suck all the fun out of the room. If fun was about to happen, he'll stop it.
Like Eeyore?
What? Like I am?
No, Eeyore.
Oh, like Eeyore.
Winnie the Pooh.
No, more cop-like than that. And you know, it's funny because...
Narc.
Yeah, narc officer. Because these people always, like, had a big thing about, like, not liking cops, you know? It was one of their, like, slogans, like, you know, shoot pigs in the face. But you know what these people are? They're all fucking cops. They're officers that allow no fun to be had unless it's under their very strict guidelines, which usually add up to not having any fun.
When I first moved here and I was at after parties, I was just, like, so baffled. Because I was watching people just do lines of coke and then just drink. And I'm like, so basically they're just sobering themselves out to, like, a weird, normal, stable level of, like,
Of misery.
Of being, like, something's, like, not good enough or we need more coke. It's like,
yeah.
I mean, it was so confusing. I'm like, why are you, like, I'm like, you know... You're just sobering yourself up.
Yeah. It's like these people don't even...
They don't want to be
happy. They don't want to have fun. They don't want to be happy. You're right. Most people don't want to be happy because they don't know what that looks like. And it...
Is it like a cool thing? I don't...
Well, your ego, okay? Your ego has this self, like, it survives within you whether you want it to or not. You can't kill your ego. It always slips its way back in, comes in through the back door, and it... not back to front, but it just like shows up. The only way to take victory over your ego is to stand in awareness of it. So talking about my ego right now is the only, my ego's like frozen. It's like, oh shit, you know, I'm caught. Your ego doesn't like change and it seeks to avoid change at all and any, you know, at any cost. It doesn't want your ass to change because it needs to be in control. That's why narcs are so controlling, because they're existing in their ego all the time. They're in the duality instead of the unity. And they're not thinking about how we're all one and helping other people helps me. No, they're thinking me, what can I get from this person? Whatever. And so they don't, that's why they hate and fear and resist change. And all of us do to some degree, because all of our egos come into play at some point. But your ego will keep you from being happy if you've never been happy before, because it doesn't trust that change. If you change, your ego will no longer be in control, and then it's afraid it'll die. So it has to keep, it's got to keep on moving.
What's crazy is, like, when I go out and, like, be at these after parties and whatnot, it's like, because I'd kind of do that to distract myself or from these guys who were narcs in my life, it's like, I never, like, was a, like, a that version of myself. Like, I never, like, I was 100% myself. Like, I, everyone thought I was really fucking weird and, like, but, like, silly, you know what I mean? Like, and it's weird because, if anything, like, they would be around me for the right reasons because I really would always speak my mind about everything.
Yeah, because you have, like, chronic diarrhea of the mouth. You but can't hold, like, it inside.
It's more like, you know, you'd think that that environment would be kind of intimidating. I would just go to parties I didn't even...
No, I wouldn't think that about you. Because you're not even consciously aware. Like, you're just going, you know? You're living in some sort of flow state where you're just like, skibbity-bibbity-boo, and you're like, you say whatever without thinking about it at all beforehand. It just comes out like, oh.
Aw, thanks, Annie. You're so sweet.
Asia just sharded her opinion about this all over fucking Nicolas Cage's
cunt.
Thank you. That's New Year's.
Ding, ding, ding. One on the chart.
Good for me. But, hey, it's true. Oh, look, we've only got
333.
333. What'll it be? Angel numbers. That's my G. This. Father, Son. Holy Ghost. Holy Trinity. That's the most coolest thing ever did see. Only got 5 minutes left. Of E, path of least resistance, and 69 all the time. Ah, my balls, my crystal balls. Oh no, my crystal balls. So, Asia, what are you gonna do about these friends? Have you made a decision whether you'll be friends with the narc still or not? On one hand, the narc is becoming less narc. On the other hand,
but you know what? I'm like the one, relapse, because he talks to me like I'm alone. Like, when he goes like, I'm alone in it, I don't have anyone, he clumps me in with himself. Like, when he's reflecting, and that's why I'm realizing it's like, I can't live in, like, or have a friendship in a hypothetical phone call, like, answer. Yeah. And it's like, what made me want to start, what made me, like, because at first I'm like, not at first, but recently I'm like, you know, it's definitely gotta let him go, until I was told by him, he called me, and started being like, people keep saying they're cursing me. And I'm thinking, okay, he already has enough shit to deal with on his own. You know, if, like, I can somehow, you know, get this energy out of the way.
Get the curse onto you instead.
No, I actually was at his house, and what was weird is this is what it, the retrograde brought up, is that house has always kind of been very home-like for me. I'd get homesick from it. I was up all night sitting on this couch, like, writing, very aware of energy, and, like, in the morning, I'm like, you gotta sell this place. Like, I didn't feel that. I didn't feel like that. I didn't have any attachment to it. And I'm realizing that right now. Like, and so that's actually a big deal. Maybe I needed to see that. Because I went there not trying to figure out anything with him. I'm like, I need to identify why I'm trying to figure out what purpose I have. Because it's in my mind thought process. And I,
yeah. Yeah, you know what? I think whatever we do, you and your super narc, me and my mega but improved narc, it's like, I think these relationships are probably on their way out. I think
this time they are, and I feel like we have to act accordingly, at least for right now, because right now they really have to see their own truths, and we hold up a mirror, but, like, we still, like, spoon feed them stuff about themselves.
Yeah, and we give them something that, you know, they get to feed on us, our souls, a little bit. But I think the main point is, whatever we do, if we can't cut the ties, it's important we just continue to be true to ourselves. And, you know, when people start attacking you, when your friends all turn against you, you know, there's a saying or a quote, and it's, stand up for what's right, even if you're the only one standing. And I've had to do that a lot this month, as a group of friends would turn on me at once for protecting myself against one of them who was giving me crazy false accusations. Again, if you're my friend and you don't realize that crazy shit happens to me, and that, yeah, maybe once in a while, a complete stranger who was some weird Airbnb guest is gonna hit you up and tell
in the closet.
Yeah. And a midget, and, you know, gonna accuse me of fucking your boyfriend. Before you listen to what some homeless tweaker loser says that I kicked out for being on drugs, maybe you should consider me. Have I ever lied to you? All my friends out there.
But what's shitty is, like, they don't even know that it's not about you. It's their own insecurity that they can latch onto a situation that represents so much to them. you know, that yeah. like they can use as an outlet so they can still be on the same team as a certain person, but get all their opinions and views across, which I think is also happening with the daddy situation. You know, it's like...
Yeah, that's why I said all my friends, because it's a general theme. If they don't know me by now, they will never, never know me. And so, you know, for all the acquaintance be forgot. Oh man, that is what the lady said on the Twin Flame video. And I was like, what is this bitch talking about? She sounds so insane, but now I get it. Shall all the acquaintance be forgot and never brought to mind? That means forget these fools and never think about them again.
I think it's like, actually, Star Wars. This is quoting Star Wars. They're like, Jedis can't love. And he's like, no, we can't have attachment, possession, all this shit.
Really? I gotta watch that movie someday.
He's like, but Jedis, you know, can do unconditional love. Or passion, which, you know, or selfless acts, which is unconditional love. But that, yeah, they can't have attachment. They can't have, that's why they're not allowed to be in love.
It's like, wait, is a Jedi a bad thing, though?
No, Jedi's a good thing.
Okay, so Jedi's like being an empath, which means you can fuck. But you probably aren't going to want to have a relationship because of your, like, you know, we
it's
need a lot of...
It's frowned upon.
Well, no, we just need more space. And we have issues of, like, I can't live with somebody who's here all the time. I'll commit suicide.
I remember when you said something like, this afternoon I'm starting to break my own rules. It's like, boom, right there. Mm-hmm. That's where it's like, there's some kind of element that you don't even have to identify. That alone is like... For me personally, I want that to be enough.
Yeah, that's enough. When I'm breaking
down. That's enough.
No, I'm saying that is enough. Like you just said, that's enough. You know he's a demon asshole. And oh, you gotta say goodbye to this demon. Goodbye.
May the force be with you.
Goodbye. I'd love to say hello, but you say why. Like, huh? And I'm like, huh? Trick of a psycho. So go away, old psychos. Go away,
okay.
Psychos. Go away.
Sweet dreams,
psycho.
Everybody.
Go away, psycho. You suck, dick of Satan.
Okay.
And that's creepy.
Paths of least resistance and
Happy New Year, everyone.
Happy
Be
year.
A cunt this year. And remember, all your secrets are coming out of the closet with the midget and your mom. Oops.
Have the mentality of just sing along to the R. Kelly being trapped in a closet if you need to talk about drama.
To old Lang Syne.
Treat everyone how you want to be treated because you do get treated.
A cup of kindness yet for old Wayne.
I knew you. I was like, is she going to end on a good note? We love you. Good night.
Good night.